Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as incredible as it seems, Lee, they still don't have the Brown University shooter unless something's broken back there, like the last few minutes that I missed.
No.
Okay. And a lot of people criticizing the FBI and somehow Donald Trump for that online. It's actually a top 10 trending story. Charles Marino, CEO of Sentinel Group, and he's formerly with the Secret Service, points out, though, they never really did say they got the guy specifically. Here's what they said.
And if you paid attention, as I'm sure we all did, to that initial press conference, the police department was very intentional in their use of the word person of interest. This means they were not willing to classify the first individual as a suspect, which tells everybody that the police department did not have a level of evidence to conclusively make the determination that the individual was the one that carried out the attack. So hopefully it was not the case that they were focusing on just one individual and they kept the investigation going, looking at other possibilities.
Yeah, the problem is Kash Patel, head of the FBI, took a victory lap and kind of bragged about their geolocation software and how it helped to find the guy who, it turns out, was not the guy, but a guy who's now been released because he didn't do it. So I'm just amazed that it's been 3 days now. I mean, it's typical for these shootings. Usually the shooter's killed by police a lot of times, but they don't usually get very far. So the fact that it's been 3 days is kind of unbelievable.
This just still weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And a lot of people wondering, you know, motive and all of that stuff. We'll see. One of the two tragically killed was Ella Cook, vice president of the College Republicans at Brown University. Christian, who was the leader of the only conservative group at this very liberal college. So folks don't know if that had anything to do with it or if it's just a coincidence.
We'll see.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the folks in Australia want to make sure that no one can hurt the Islamist shooters going forward. They're very worried about them. And so they want to make sure that they take the guns away, that there's no way for anyone to defend themselves. As we're beginning to get a look, Lee, at what it takes to defend yourself from an Islamist shooter and his son when you don't have a gun. Take a listen to what happened to those who tried to stop him with their bare hands. Now, we know one guy actually did succeed at doing it, and he's being called a hero. By the way, he's facing more surgery today. He's not done with all of his surgeries. He was injured. Listen to how many people tried to unarmed people tried to stop this guy or guys.
You certainly prickle with emotion when you see and hear what's happening, but it is the vision which continues to emerge, which put into context the bravery of so many people. Dash cam footage actually reveals 69-year-old Boris Gurman and his wife Sophia Gurman, Russian Jews, local Australians, intervening from the very first moment when Sajid Akram, the older of the two gunmen, gets out of the car. They see a man with a large rifle, a shotgun. It appears that he tackles the gunman. Momentarily, he has the upper hand with the weapon before it looks like another rifle is brought out of the car, and then the 69-year-old is actually gunned down on the street with his wife. People weren't aware of this footage until the dash cam vision actually came to life. We can also tell you further emotive scenes. Raven Morrison was seen throwing bricks at one of the gunmen when he'd been disarmed and was trying to make his way back to that footbridge. Tragically, that gentleman, the 62-year-old, was also gunned down when Naveed Akram, the younger gunman, the 24-year-old, opened fire and caught him. So the heroic efforts of three people there trying to stop the Jewish community from being slain and slaughtered as they were. Eventually, a plainclothes detective managed to make his way behind a tree and brought down the father with an incredible 40-meter shot with his pistol. There have been questions about the courage of the New South Wales police force.
You can see how many people tried to stop these shooters without a gun yourself. You know, I mean, good luck. It's very brave of those folks to do that. For the life of me, I will never understand why you see a thing like this and think, you know what we really need to do is disarm more innocent people. Because clearly the non-innocent people don't seem to have much trouble getting guns.
Well, it's so ridiculous because Australia has some of the toughest gun laws in the world of nations that allow citizens to own weapons. And yet, with those laws in effect, you still had these individuals that legally got hold of the weapons. So their answer is, well, let's make it even harder. So the law that didn't work the first time, you're going to try and make it more stringent.
I think they just use these terror attacks as an excuse. I think they're actually more afraid of rebellion by freedom-loving individuals who get tired of their censorship, their internet crackdowns, and their totalitarianism. I think that's why they want the guns. No. I don't think they care about the terror attacks. I think it's just an excuse. But that's just me. Yeah, and Australia's a lot further gone than most Americans realize in terms of the—
They're an important ally for this country and in that region for many reasons. But, yeah, the Australian government is a lot further down the road of liberal progressive secularism than even we are. So
yeah, absolutely. You saw that during COVID. I mean, the roundups were absolutely draconian.
Yeah.
And now the censorship absolutely is very draconian too. So, the Sydney terrorists is turning out, were inspired by ISIS, no surprise there. And tragically, they were known to the authorities. The two were identified, during a previous investigation of another, terror plot.
And I believe the Sun was under investigation from 2019.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not going to protect you by, you know, investigation. They're not going to protect you by keeping track of the terrorists. The police are going to run for their lives, and they're not going to protect you. I mean, there's now an iconic photo is in the New York Post of one of the police officers with her hands up.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Yeah. That's, and if I read this correctly, and I'm not saying this is the length of time, but apparently this attack went on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's what one of the witnesses said, the audio on that.
20 minutes.
He said, oh, yeah, they had time to reload. So 42 people are in the hospital. I mean, that's how many they shot. So
that is a very huge metropolitan area that had to have had law enforcement all over the place. And it went on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's what he said yesterday. Here's the guy, I think he was actually there for the Hanukkah celebration on Bondi Beach. Shmulek Skuri. Well, let me move this a little play. Here we go.
I look what he shot. I look at his rifle. He aimed. He did. He really, like, take his time. He should take his time. And four policemen there didn't give fire back. I don't understand why. Why?
What was going through your mind?
I think, like, I'm Israeli, like I'm familiar with this situation, but like it's terrible in the middle of Bondi. It's terrible, terrible.
Yeah, in Israel, 20 seconds would have gone by and they would have been shot by if there were police in the area.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
So Islamists hear this and they're like, oh, cool. All right. Well, our friends had just dropped the guns off on the beach to us and we'll go in and do it again. They're not going to be armed. Meanwhile, the thing I can't get past today, I mean, forgive me for droning on about it, but This is why I'm working it in every hour. The Democrats are protesting because Trump administration is running the flight manifests for planes. So before you take off, basically, before you can get on the plane, they're running it against Homeland Security databases to stop the illegal immigrants from boarding. And when they try to fly, they're rounding them up at the airports. And Democrats think this is unfair and get this a violation of privacy. Okay, first thing. You want to know what a violation of privacy is? Real ID. That's a violation of my privacy, where all of my information, I have to turn it into the state. And guess where it goes? To the federal government in the database. That's a violation of my privacy. You want to talk about that? We'll talk about that. No, they want me to get a real ID and scan my face if I don't have one. But they also want the 18,000 terrorists that Joe Biden let in to be able to fly without an ID.
Unidentified flying terrorist.
What? Yes. You keep coming up with this stuff. I swear I don't know where you come up with this. It's so funny. I might use that as my podcast today.
Get right out of
here. Okay. Unidentified flying terrorist. That's fantastic. So, but that's what it is, though. Oh, my gosh. So, all right. So, meantime, I clicked on this. Where did it go? Meantime, they're having to cancel all of these things all over the world. Paris, their iconic New Year's Eve concert, public celebrations at the Champs-Élysées. Mm-hmm. That's, they're going for a pre-recorded TV broadcast because they're afraid of a terror attack. This is the first time they've ever canceled it because of a very high terror threat from jihadi groups. Christmas markets in France are already classified as high risk and require heavy policing. Some of those have been shut down this year. In Germany, several smaller Christmas markets have been fully canceled, primarily due to organizers' inability to afford the mandated anti-terror security measures like concrete barriers, extra guards, and air surveillance required just for them to attend a Christmas festival, which, by the way, Germans have been doing for hundreds of years.
Yes.
So it's truly part of their culture. Larger markets are proceeding, but with significantly enhanced fortifications and costs up 44% for the security in recent years. Meanwhile, markets throughout Europe, including in Austria, are being either scaled back or canceled because the Islamists don't like it when you do a Christian thing like that, and so they like to attack.
Right. So there's what we basically have is religious persecution.
Yes. And this is coming here. It is. When you let in 18,000 people off the terror watch list like Joe Biden did, can you imagine doing that? You get warned in a memo, as the UK Telegraph tells us this morning, you get warned in a memo, hey, these are members of ISIS, these are members of they're actual jihadis. And you do nothing, you let more in, and then you go, you know, I think I'm gonna go with no ID to fly. And you load them onto planes. And then when Trump tries to stop it, you scream privacy? I mean, Lee, they're not just letting these jihadis in. They intend to fully integrate them into our lives and give them special privileges that Americans don't have. While they insist we get real IDs, mm-hmm. they want them to continue flying with no ID. Or the ID they were illegally given in blue areas. Because Joe Biden gave some of them social security numbers, even though they're illegal immigrants. And this is incredible.
It's not like they're getting commercial driver's license, Tara. Oh, wait a minute. They are.
Yes, they are. Well, no, because we just, was it 2 weeks now since we busted the terrorist, literal terrorist. He's wanted in, I think it was Bosnia. But he's literally wanted, he's a jihadi who was recruiting other jihadis, and he had a commercial driver's license. Well, at least he's not on a plane now, but Democrats aren't happy about that. You elect him again, man. I wouldn't get on a plane. It's too dangerous.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is now the call-in portion of the Tara Show, 800-905-0989, where we put all the topics from the week that was. Not very long so far, but that's okay. There have been a lot of topics back on the table. Give me a call, 800-905-0989. The comedian David Sedaris did a monologue that's going viral. I also wrote a piece on it for The New Yorker. About the impossibility of trying to talk to liberals because they pretend not to know things. We deal with this every day. He's in Portland, where everybody's liberal. He's also liberal. And he's walking down the street and he's trying to get, you know, he's trying to get to the place where he's supposed to perform. And he gets bit by this dog. The dog owner is so busy smoking drugs out of a baby carriage that they can't be bothered. Neither can the other adults with her. She just doesn't care. But what's really fascinating, he says, is the reaction from all of the other people that he confronted about this. He mentioned, "All right, I've been bit. Look at me. I'm bleeding." Well, that's actually kind of dangerous to get bit by a dog. You really can get a blood infection from that. It's not good. Here's where it begins. Sedaris claims the woman denied that her dog attacked him before the group collectively shrugged and turned back to the business of smoking fentanyl. Fine. But then he tried to tell anyone who would listen. It became a, you know, social experiment. "Your dog just bit me," I repeated to her. "No, it didn't," one of the men said. I raised my pant leg and pointed the broken skin. "Yes, it did," I told him. "Look." The group collectively shrugged and turned back to the business of smoking fentanyl. "How is this okay?" I said. Blank expressions. "You should wash it," the woman said, leaning again into the baby carriage with a lighter in her hand. "I should call the police," is what I should do, I told her. "Whatever," one of the men said. Apparently, they're smoking fentanyl out of baby carriages now. There was an actual baby involved. It's just the thing they're doing there in Portland because they've legalized the street drugs. You can openly use them on the streets. You just can't show the drugs. So that's what the carriages are for. Now, here's where he gets to the impossibility of talking to liberals. As I'm reading this about the dog that bit him, imagine the dog is a terrorist. Like the 18,000 Joe Biden let in. That the left is enraged this week, Trump will not allow them to fly on planes. They are actually terror watch list terrorists. That night, he writes, "I had a show in the town of Salem, and boy, did I talk about my afternoon, at least while I signed books beforehand." Here are the reactions he got. He said not a single person gave a damn about him. Keep in mind, he's in Portland, so they're all liberal. Quote, "You have to understand that these addicts, especially those," this is what people are telling him, "especially those with an opioid use disorder, lead incredibly difficult lives," the first person I spoke to, a woman with long straight hair, the color of spaghetti, said. "How is that an excuse?" I asked. "Her dog bit me." "Well, you're still better off than she and her friends are," the woman continued. "Unfortunately, I'd already finished signing her book," he says. "I was bitten by a dog today," I said to another woman. "Sometime later, it was with these people who were smoking fentanyl and pushing a baby carriage." "What kind of dog was it?" she asked. "Whatever Toto was in The Wizard of Oz," I told her. "Oh," she moaned, "a Cairn Terrier, that poor thing." "Did I leave the part out where it bit me?" I asked. "People like that aren't in any condition to take care of their animals," the woman said. "That's the really sad part." I said, "Is it?" Pointing to the bandage on my leg, "is that the really sad part?" This is how they think. The next person in line said, did you get their names? I really don't think they would have given them to me, the comedian said. This is David Sedaris. No, he said, the names of the dogs. It might help authorities rescue them. Nobody cares that he got bit. Which truly, I mean, you could end up with, I mean, it's dangerous to be bitten by a dog. That was when I quit talking about it. I mean, how hard should it be to get a little sympathy when an unleashed dog bites you? What if I were a baby? What then? What if I were 90 or blind or Nelson Mandela? Why is everyone so afraid of saying that drug addicts shouldn't let their dogs bite people? Well, answer the question. They're a protected political class. They're oppressed class members just by being drug addicts. They're high value. So you came to the Democrat Party. So all human worth comes, all value comes from your class in the Marxist class system. So if their dog bites someone, it's, you know, not really about you. And it doesn't matter. Anyway, he says, why is everyone so afraid of saying that drug addicts shouldn't let their dogs bite people? And then he writes, actually, I know why. We're afraid we'll be mistaken for Republicans when really this isn't something that we, when really isn't this something that we should all be able to agree on? How did allowing dogs to bite people become a Democrat point of principle? Or is it just certain people's dogs? If a German shepherd jumped growling out of one of those Tesla trucks that looked like an Orgamai project and its owner wearing a MAGA hat yelled, Trump or no, then would people in my audience be aghast? Of course they would. He's finally getting it. So remember when Trump declared a crime emergency in D.C. and all of the right reporters, all of the correct people said there's no crime emergency. Actually, crime is down in D.C. and Trump says we know crazy. Never mind that anecdotally we were hearing that crime was actually up. It was a lot more dangerous. People were getting attacked. I think the final last straw was when Big Balls of Doge got attacked, beaten in the streets by what turns out to be repeat offenders who Democrats believe should roam free because they are members of the highest oppressed category in Marxism. Literally, there's oppressors and oppressed. If you're a criminal, you are vaunted and celebrated in their culture, which is not American culture. It's something else. Trump said those crime stats were fake. They were manipulating them and in D.C., and of course, the mainstream media mocked him as, you know, some kind of a lunatic, liar, idiot, you know, the usual. Guess what? Turns out Democrats were committing fraud there, too. Are there any programs or bureaucracies or instances where Democrats are not committing fraud, really? Anyway, there is a House committee, and what they did was the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, hauled in the leadership of the police department there in D.C., put them under oath, ask them, is the police chief pressuring you to manipulate crime statistics? Why, yes, she is, they said. This is from interviews with 8 police department commanders there in D.C. Now, here's what she did. She forced them to incorrectly categorize crimes as different lower ranking crimes, many of which weren't felonies, even if they were violent homicides. In other words, fraud for the rest of us. If you didn't do it, she would retaliate against you. In numerous cases, they said, they were not only pressured, but also instructed to lower crime classifications to lesser intermediate offenses in such a way those offenses would not be included into what's called the DCR, which is reported to the public and to the FBI. As you know, FBI keeps UCR, Uniform Crime Stats. Have you noticed what's going on around the country last few years? In blue cities, a lot of these crime stats are either not turned into the FBI or they're partially turned in, or when they are turned in, the crime's going down. I bet this is going on all over the place. So anyway, the whole investigation began after President Trump declared a crime emergency in Washington, D.C. And of course, the instant response from the left was to claim that crime already dropped. Everything was going great. Their efforts to understand the criminals and simply coexist with them on the streets were working great. Everybody was happy. Folks, can I explain to you what's happened here? We've got Marxism invading this party. It has now become, whether you're talking about Somali criminals literally stealing you blind in front of your face in Minnesota, you can't call them out. That's because in the post George Floyd era, and really starting with the George Floyd era with the Democrats, criminals became oppressed class members. And so, ergo, you cannot apply consequences, including legal ones, to members of oppressed classes, and all criminals are oppressed class members. Ergo, they must roam the streets and be with us all of the time, no matter who they hurt, kill, or maim. It does not matter. Only their class matters. But that creates, because you don't want to be seen as a Democrat, you'll be seen as an oppressor if you are actually applying laws on the books to criminals and putting them in prison, whether you're a judge or a mayor or in this case a police chief. But the problem with that is you end up with really high crime stats. So, well, fix the criminals? No, fix the crime stats. Commit fraud. This is fraud. But is it any different from anything else they do? Now think about it. What, like you just like even go to the COVID shot. By the way, Stanford University just put out a study explaining how it causes myocarditis. They feel safe enough doing that now. Trump may be a supporter of the shot, but he's not a person who will retaliate against you for telling the truth. That's why they're telling the truth. It actually has two separate chemicals in it that damage your heart. They work together to cause an inflammatory response that hardens the muscle of your heart. This has, by the way, been known since the beginning. But those who were saying it online were censored. And that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. If we don't like the reality of having a lot of crime in DC, what do? We censor it. And if you won't go along, what happens to you? You get canceled. That's their culture. That is the culture they want for America. Reality will be, as we say, not as it is. And if you don't go along, you get canceled. In this case, in this particular story, it's the eight commanders of the DC Police Department who said, nah, we were threatened. We were retaliated against. And listen how bad this was. Some crimes, you weren't even allowed to categorize yourself. You couldn't fill in that box in the police report. You had to bring it to her so she could do the police chief, so she could do it herself. In other words, make sure the fraud was correctly committed. Folks, I guarantee this is going on in every Democrat city. We have no idea what the crime is in this country. And then it gets turned over to the FBI and it's all a lie. I guarantee that you don't think the Democrats aren't just doing this in DC. They're making the same mess everywhere else. And then the pointy heads in the media are like, no, crime is down. Everything's going great. This is a testimony of Commander B, Chief Darnell Williams, was very vocal about standing up for what he believed was right. And one morning, we all sat in a crime briefing and waited and waited and waited. It never started. About 30 minutes later, him and Chief Smith came into the crime briefing. The very next day, he was transferred to the Technical and Analytical Services Bureau, which is a fancy word for IT. He was relieved of his duties. He was the former 6D commander, one of the most respected people in the police department. But he would not lie for her. He would not commit fraud. So, Democrats, y'all. Democrats. When reality will not conform to what you wish it to be, the COVID shot is safe. Somebody says, hey, it's not safe. Censored. Destroyed. Canceled. This is just a version of a cancellation. Folks, it's not just the thing they do. It's their culture. Okay, we got an update. Erica Kirk and Crazy Candace Owens have met. I don't know what was said. Erica Kirk has been doing rounds of interviews, trying to counter the idea that Tyler Robinson did not kill Charlie Kirk. And the reason I played the audio yesterday was because she's afraid. I mean, think about it. When you're talking about a jury, it only takes one member of a jury to vote no. And there's no conviction. She's afraid Tyler Robinson's going to get off, or at least they're going to have to try him multiple times. They may not be able to find a jury to convict him. That's how widespread this conspiracy cray has gone. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in the meeting of these two, because the stuff that Candace Owens has said, she's positioned herself as Charlie Kirk's last true friend and Erica Kirk as his Israeli handler. I am not, but this has gotten so ridiculous. And that Erica Kirk and the leadership of the TPUSA, who are all of Charlie's friends, are all like part of the conspiracy, or at least they're part of the cover up. Okay, here's the part I don't get. Like if I'm hatching this conspiracy because I want to get hits, clicks, and likes, I don't understand a part where Tyler Robinson didn't do it. Like, that part really confuses me. I mean, there's so much evidence he did it. His own dad turned him in, thinks he did it. Yeah. That's super weird. But, like, to go along with the conspiracy, wouldn't you have picked something more like, okay, Tyler Robinson did do it, but the Israelis made him? I mean, if you're going in that direction. But she has systematically turned people against Erica Kirk by suggesting that she's, like, in on it. Whatever it is. By the way, the conspiracy is the Jews did it. They did it. Oh, and the reason is because Charlie had taken their money, but then lately he'd been more critical of Israel. He wasn't really that critical of Israel, but sort of critical of Israel. And it was really just one big Jewish donor who happened to be Jewish, but we never, I can't. But this has been a serious thing. She really has a following with this cray cray. And I mean, the way she says it, well, you know, they triangulated all the phones that were there, and five of them were Israeli. Yeah, there's like 6,000 students there. I'm pretty sure probably five of them would be domiciled out of Israel. That's not really that interesting. Anyway, the good news is Erica Kirk maybe talked some sense into the fool, announcing Monday she'd had a productive conversation with Candace Owens. No word on if she still thinks Erica Kirk is Charlie Kirk's Israeli handler. I don't know about that. But signaling a thaw in their rift following weeks of public tension in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. We had a productive conversation, Erica Kirk says. I hope so, because I really don't want this guy getting away with it. Tyler Robinson, I mean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.